Okay, 2 Kings chapter 23, we'll begin at verse 28. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? In his days, Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, went up to the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates. And King Josiah went to meet him. And when Pharaoh Necho saw him, he killed him at Megiddo. His servants drove his body in a chariot from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, and buried him in his own tomb. Then the people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and anointed him and made him king in place of his father. And that is where we ended last time, with the death of Josiah. This battle in which he was killed, there really was not any logical military or political reason why Josiah had to even be there. But for some reason, he felt he should have been there, and he went. But he was killed in that battle at Megiddo. So that was the end of Josiah's life. And other than that question, we studied him for a couple weeks, and it was quite an influence that he had in revival and the reformation of the nation. So he died in 609 B.C. The chart of kings is on the back page of your notes there tonight. So in the left-hand column under Southern Kings, you can see Josiah. And now we look at Jehoahaz. So we just read in verse 30, Jehoahaz was anointed and made king in the place of his father. Verse 31, Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. If you check out the passage in 2 Chronicles, it says that he reigned 3 months and I believe 10 days in there. So verse 31, his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna, not to be confused with the prophet Jeremiah, not the same. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. Pharaoh Necho imprisoned him at Riblah in the land of Hamath, that he might not reign in Jerusalem, and he imposed on the land a fine of 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. So Jehoahaz, 23 years old when he became king in 609 BC. That means he was born in 632 BC when Josiah was 16 years old. Jehoiakim, his older brother, and we will get to him in a moment, was born in 634 when Josiah was 14. The question, why didn't Jehoiakim or Eliakim, the older brother, get to be king? Why was Jehoahaz made king? And that question is not answered for us in the text of Scripture, other than as we look at it historically, this obviously was the plan of the Lord. Pharaoh Necho, who was the one who had Josiah killed, imprisoned Jehoahaz and imposed a fine. We read in both 2 Chronicles and Jeremiah that Pharaoh Necho had Jehoahaz deported and carried off to Egypt, from which he never returned. So a 3-month reign for Jehoahaz. Now Jehoiakim, beginning in verse 34. Pharaoh Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the place of Josiah, his father, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. But he took Jehoaz away, brought him to Egypt, and he died there. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land in order to give the money at the command of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold from the people of the land, each according to his valuation, to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebedah, the daughter of Padiah of Rumah. Now notice, Jehoahaz and Jehoiakim are brothers, but they had the same father, but they had different mothers. That tells you that Josiah had more than one wife, right? And we didn't read about that when we studied the reign of Josiah, but that is obviously true as we look at that here. So Jehoiakim was 25 years old in 609 BC, which means he was born in 634 BC. His given name was Eliakim. So that's what his father would have called him, Eliakim, which means God raises up. But Pharaoh Necho changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means Yahweh raises up. And apparently Pharaoh Necho was trying to say it's not just any God that is the God of Eliakim, but it is Yahweh. But Pharaoh Necho had Jehoahaz deported to Egypt, and he appointed his brother as king in his place. Jehoiakim reigned 11 years. He heavily taxed the people in order to pay the tribute to Pharaoh Necho and the Egyptians. In Jeremiah chapter 22, and I'm just going to read from that. This is concerning Jehoiakim. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13. Woe to him who builds his house without righteousness and his upper rooms without justice, who uses his neighbor's services without pay and does not give him his wages, who says, I will build myself a roomy house with spacious upper rooms and cut out its windows, paneling it with cedar and painting it bright red. We learn Jehoiakim built his own luxurious palace, but he refused to pay the workers who did the work on the palace. So he was kind of a cheater. Jeremiah chapter 22 also indicates to us that Jehoiakim was consistently wicked. He was a prophet hater. Jeremiah chapter 36. Starting at verse 20. They went to the king in the court, but they had deposited the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent to Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it out of the chamber of Elishama the scribe. Jehudi read it to the king as well as to all the officials who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning in the brazier before him. It came about when Jehudi had read three or four columns, the king cut it with a scribe's knife and threw it into the fire that was in the brazier, until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the brazier. Yet the king and all his servants who heard all these words were not afraid, nor did they rend their garments, even though Elnathan and Deliah and Gemarah entreated the king not to burn the scroll. He would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, Sariah, the son of Abdiel, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. This was a scroll of the prophecies, we might say the sermons, of Jeremiah. And Jehoiakim did what? He cut it in pieces and threw it in the fire and burned it. Okay? Now, you might have people that you witness to that don't have a high regard for God's word, but you probably never had one of them grab your Bible out of your hand, cut it to pieces, and burn it. Okay? But that's what Jehoiakim did. And he was wanting Jeremiah's life. In Jeremiah chapter 26, Jehoiakim killed the prophet Uriah, and also in Jeremiah 26 and Jeremiah 36, he attempted to capture and kill Jeremiah, but like we just read, the Lord hid Jeremiah so that he couldn't get to him. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, this would be the summer of 605 BC, and we are now on very solid historical ground because we have the chronicles of Babylon, Babylonian history, that actually dates all of this stuff for us. So, summer of 605 BC, Pharaoh Necho came to the Euphrates to confront the Babylonians. And this is what is leading up to the Battle of Carchemish, the Babylonians. Now, just a little catching up with Babylonian background here. Remember, the kings of Babylon for actually several hundred years had not been Babylonians. They had been Assyrians, because Assyria was ruling Babylon. But finally, one of the Babylonian rebel leaders became king. He was Nabopolassar, and he became the king of Babylon. Nabopolassar at this time was very sick. So his son, Nabopolassar had a son by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And so you're more familiar with that name. Nebuchadnezzar led the Babylonian army. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 11, which we will not read right now, but Jeremiah had prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar would win this battle and control Judah for 70 years. And you can also read that in the first chapter of Habakkuk. So That had been prophesied. So therefore, according to prophecy, the Egyptians, Pharaoh Necho, the Egyptians were soundly defeated by Nebuchadnezzar. And you can read that in Jeremiah chapter 42. Now, you just see all these chapters in Jeremiah. Do you understand? Jeremiah is not written in chronological historical order. Jeremiah is written organized around his prophecies, not around the history and chronology. And so that's why you see this kind of jumping all around in Jeremiah. After Nebuchadnezzar defeated the Egyptians, he besieged Jerusalem, and Jehoiakim surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar bound Jehoiakim and was intending to carry Jehoiakim to Babylon. You can read that in 2 Chronicles 36:6. He was intending to carry him off to Babylon, but he didn't. Although Nebuchadnezzar did take some temple treasures and some of the leading young men, including a young man named Daniel. And you can see that in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is still 605 BC. Before Nebuchadnezzar could take Jehoiakim to Babylon, he received word that his father, Nabopolassar, had died. Nabopolassar died in Babylon on August 15th, 605 BC. And I told you this, we have solid history on all of this. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar had to return to Babylon and was crowned king on September 6th, 605 BC. So that was a big and fast summer for Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar had to go back and be crowned king, Jehoiakim was allowed to remain in Jerusalem as a vassal king. In other words, he was supposed to be loyal to Nebuchadnezzar. After 3 years as a vassal, Jehoiakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And that would have been in 602 BC. So we're now up to chapter 24, verse 1. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up. Jehoiakim became his servant for 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And by the way, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 36:25, had warned Jehoiakim to not rebel against Nebuchadnezzar But Jehoiakim did it anyway. He was a disregarder of prophets. Jehoiakim's remaining years were spent in constant war, wickedness, and bloodshed until he was killed in 597 BC. So that's here in 2 Kings 24, verses 2 through 6. The Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans, bands of Arameans, bands of Moabites, bands of Ammonites. So he sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through his servants, the prophets. Surely at the command of the Lord it came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also for the innocent blood which he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord would not forgive. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiakim, his son, became king in his place. The king of Egypt did not come out of his land again, for the king of Babylon had taken all that belonged to the king of Egypt from the brook of Egypt to the river Euphrates. So Pharaoh Necho went home and stayed in Egypt. Jehoiakim died, and died as an evil, God-rejecting, blood-shedding man. He died in 597 BC. So in 597, Jehoiakim, his son, becomes king. So we saw in 2 Kings 24:6 that Jehoiakim is the son of Jehoiakim. In chapter 24, verse 9, we see that he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has been patient for several years. You know, even after Jehoiakim rebelled against him, he was patient. But his patience is run out now. So Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians captured Jerusalem on March 15th, 597 BC. This is 2 Kings 24, verse 10. At that time, the servants of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, went up to Jerusalem. The city came under siege. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to the city while his servants were besieging it. Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon. He and his mother and his servants and his captains and his officials. So the king of Babylon took him captive in the 8th year of his reign. Now that is the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, because Jehoiakim's reign wasn't 8 years long. It was only 3 months and 10 days long. So the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, Jehoiakim and his family, and everyone of influence, including Ezekiel, would have been part of this, were deported to Babylon, 2 Kings 24:14. Then he led away into exile all Jerusalem and all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. So he led Jehoiakim away into exile to Babylon, also the king's mother, the king's wives, and his officials, and the leading men of the land. He led away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. All the men of valor, 7,000, the craftsmen and the smiths, 1,000, all the strong and fit for war, and these the king of Babylon brought into exile to Babylon. So we saw in 605 Daniel being taken to Babylon. We see now in 597 Ezekiel being taken to Babylon. That should just help you to know where this all fits in the history. I want to encourage you to look at Jeremiah now. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 30. Now, when you look at Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 24, it says, Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim. Coniah and Jehoiakim, and some versions you'll see Jeconiah, they're all the same person. Okay? So this is the curse on Jehoiakim, sometimes called the curse of Coniah or the curse of Jeconiah. Jeremiah 22:30, thus says the Lord, write this man down childless, a man who will not prosper in his days, for no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling again in Judah. Now, Jehoiakim did have sons. Had 7 sons. Why does this say, write this man down childless? Because none of his sons, nor any future relatives of his, will ever sit on the throne of David. That's what this curse says. He is the last of the Davidic kings. There has not been a Davidic king in Judah, in Jerusalem, in Israel, since then. There has not been. Now, you who are biblically knowledgeable should be thinking about something here. Because does not the Davidic covenant still have to be fulfilled? The Messiah, a descendant of David, will be king. You know what? Somehow, in order for Jesus to be king in the coming millennial kingdom, this curse on Jehoiakim has to get circumvented in some way. It has to be. Now, this is why. You ever read the beginning of Matthew and go, oh, this genealogy is boring. And then you read Luke and you go, and this genealogy is boring too. Okay? But you understand, those are two different genealogies. One of them is the genealogy of Joseph that goes back and would go back through Jeconiah, through Jehoiakim, all the way to David. The other one in Luke is the genealogy from Mary going all the way back to David, but she was not from the family of Jehoiakim, though she was of a family of David. So, the virgin birth of Jesus bypasses the curse that's placed on Jehoiakim. I mean, did Jesus have to be born of a virgin in order to be the Messianic king? And the answer is yes, he had to be. He had to be, because this curse was in effect. Jesus is not a descendant of Jehoiakim, but Jesus is a descendant of David. And so that shows us something. But you realize this ended very poorly for Jehoiakim, who was deported to Babylon. Although we'll see next time, he was actually treated okay in Babylon. After this, and we'll get into the details of the fall of Jerusalem next time, Zedekiah becomes king, and Zedekiah was Nebuchadnezzar's uncle. His name was Mattaniah. His name was changed to Zedekiah, which means Yahweh is righteous. And you can see that in 2 Kings 24:17. Zedekiah had sworn allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. And a number of places tell us that. 2 Chronicles 36:13, Ezekiel 17:11 and forward. And in Zedekiah's fourth year, which would have been 593 BC, he was required, according to Jeremiah 51:59-64, he was required to go to Babylon and appear before Nebuchadnezzar, and probably had to swear allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar again. But sometime before 588 BC, so between 593 and 588, Zedekiah had begun to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you say, well, why would he do that? Because Nebuchadnezzar was his nephew. Zedekiah was appreciating the Jewish people. That was one thing. Zedekiah was also finding himself caught between Egypt and Babylon. So, therefore, his loyalty to his nephew was beginning to wane a bit. So, 2 Kings 24:20, Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Therefore, another siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians began on January 16th, 588 BC. And 2 Kings 25:1 actually tells you that. Came about in the ninth year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came down, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, camped against it, and built a siege wall around it. So that was January 16th of 588, and that siege continued all the way until the fall of Jerusalem, which was on July 18th, 586 BC. And you can read all of that in the first 10 verses of chapter 25. You can also read it in 2 Chronicles 36 and Jeremiah 52. So, the siege of Jerusalem. Eventually, Zedekiah's eyes were put out. 2 Kings 25:5-7. In verse 7, they slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, then put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with bronze fetters and brought him to Babylon. Just a little aside here. Some of your study Bibles and things will have notes that say This siege lasted for 18 months, but comparing scripture with scripture and history, it was probably more like 30 months. Okay. So just in case you look in your footnotes and say, well, this says 18 months. Well, okay, but that's not really what the text says. So Zedekiah's eyes were put out, and he was taken as a prisoner to Babylon. Now, there's a lot of debate. Was Zedekiah a Babylonian or a Jew? You know, I mean, he was Nebuchadnezzar's uncle. But apparently somewhere, either by family connections or marriage or something, he had embraced the faith of Judah. So maybe he was both a Russian or a Babylonian Jew. Now there's one other leader, Gedaliah, and this is 2 Kings 25, beginning at verse 22. Now, Gedaliah, and you can also read this in Jeremiah 40 and 41, Gedaliah was actually a friend of Jeremiah. He was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar. Gedaliah was never a king. He's known as the puppet governor. And he was murdered because he just did not have the wisdom to listen to the right people. He was murdered in less than 2 months, so he didn't reign long. But Jehoiakim is actually the last Davidic king. It's interesting when you read the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel considers Jehoiakim to be his king. Even after Jehoiakim was deported to Babylon. Because Zedekiah was not a descendant of David. Gedaliah was not a descendant of David. So these last two, Zedekiah and Gedaliah, are just, you know, they're going through the motions. And both of them have been referred to as puppets. They were puppets of Nebuchadnezzar. So that brings us to the fall of Jerusalem and the Babylonian captivity, which is where we will complete this next time. And then, Lord willing, the following week, we will do a review of this whole series. This series has been called From Conquest to Captivity. the conquest. That's where we started. Have we made it to the captivity? Yep, we have. So a couple more weeks and we will wrap this up. Heavenly Father, so sad when we think of Daniel being carried off, when we think of Ezekiel being carried off, we think of Ezekiel lamenting that the glory had departed from the temple. And it had. Even though there were seasons of revival under Hezekiah and Josiah, and even though there were prophets and there were attempts, it just never really brought Judah back to true and right and pure worship. And so, Lord, with sadness, we think of the carrying away into Babylon. Lord, as we pray tonight, we pray for people and various needs, but we also pray for our country, we pray for our land, and we realize that in so many ways, what has been the glory of this land has also long since departed. And so, Lord, we wonder what it is that will happen and will come next for us. Thank you that for believers, we will not be carried away into captivity, but we will be carried away into the air to meet Jesus and be with him forever. And so, Lord, we thank you and we worship you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.